You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Andrea Hotere, daughter of renowned Aotearoa artist Ralph Hotere and acclaimed poet Cilla McQueen, has released her first novel, The Vanishing Point. The book is a fast-paced contemporary historical novel set in the 1600s and 1990s. It twists and turns to a banger of an ending. Trust me, I've read it. She says she wants the book to encourage the reader's sense of curiosity about art in a way that is fun and accessible, to show the benefit of challenging received wisdom from the establishment sometimes, and listening to the artist first and foremost. To hear more about the novel, I caught up with Andrea. Here we are now. So we are talking about The Vanishing Point today, your new novel. Is it your first novel?
Yes, first novel.
Oh, whoa, congratulations. That's a huge achievement. It is a mysterious and complex story. Could you give me a rundown of what the book tells the story of?
It is inspired by a really famous painting, Las Meninas by Diego Velázquez, which was painted in mid-17th century in Spain. And I take two timelines that connect to the painting. One is from the artist's era, mid-17th century, and the lead protagonist there is a young Spanish infanta, the Infanta Margarita, who is in the painting Las Meninas that the book is kind of revolving around. And then in the modern timeline, set in the early 1990s and kicks off in London, there is a young woman, sort of lead protagonist called Alex. And she's an intern at the Courtauld, an art historical research institute in London. She's sort of somewhat tenuously there, but she also has a connection to this painting through her mother and work that her mother did on it. And both the young women in their own ways pick up on this thread, which I also had picked up on through my research, a slight suggestion of a curse, and they explore it and investigate in their own worlds, and those threads begin to sort of connect.
Mm. Yes, and unravel in quite extraordinary and haunting ways. I won't give too much away. Mm. But where did your personal relationship with the painting develop and your interest in that history?
Yeah, well, radio is an important part of this story because radio prompted me back, catching the second half of an interview where somebody was, in fact, talking about Las Meninas. I didn't realise it at the time, when I was probably in my 30s with young children. That sort of led to it. But further back than that in my life, I went with my parents to the Prado when I was 8 or 9. My dad was an artist, and he was there on a sort of research mission. We went to various art galleries around the place, and we were there for a number of days. And I traipsed around with them looking at paintings, but at a certain point must have had enough and decided to sit down and read my book for a couple of days while the exploration of the gallery continued. And I sat in a room with the Las Meninas and the Infanta Margarita. I noticed her at that time, and I think that's why I sat there.
There's this wonderful scene in the book where you describe Alex being drawn into the painting. Did you have a similar experience of looking at the work? Or?
Well, at that time, I mean, I think a lot of people have been felt themselves mysteriously drawn into the painting. It does have that effect on you because of the way it operates. But yeah, I was operating in a fictional sense, writing that scene with the young Alex. Yeah.
So you shift between these two worlds in the book of Alex in the 90s and then in the 17th century in the Spanish court, which is quite a dark and twisted history that you get into. How did you undertake researching the Spanish court in the 17th century?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite one thing led to another, and next thing you knew, I was inside the labyrinth of the Alcazar, the palace, myself, literally working out how all the rooms connected and who was living where, and getting to know the Infanta Margarita and trying to understand her world, the people that she connected with on a daily basis. Yeah, that just sort of led me in. I started with her, trying to work out the outline of her story, her life. I wanted to be as much as possible true to the facts of her life. Yeah, and then from her, I moved on to the other characters who are really amazingly pictured in Las Meninas itself. It's kind of a gift, really, I thought, to a writer to have characters who were true to history. We know who they were. We know when they lived. And Velasquez, the artist, shows us very much what they looked like. And he suggests, even in this one painting, some of the dynamics between them all. So it's a sort of exploration of what I came to feel was quite an oppressive system, with some people sort of operating within it, some of whom had great empathy for the other members of their sort of the family of the court, as it were, and others who might not have, others who had other agendas. Yeah, so I was trying to tease out and think through myself, all those motivations.
And when you sat down to piece the plot together between these two different points in history, how did you practically do that? Are you post-it notes everywhere, or was it setting out timelines? And how did you manage that?
Yes, there were post-it notes at one stage, but that was quite a long way down the track. I started with the story of the Infanta Margarita and the story of Alex. And there was a first draft, which I ended up not being very happy with. And during subsequent drafts, I think I worked out more some of the deeper things that I was writing about. And it kind of developed. So I didn't start with a very clear structure at the beginning, although I had an idea. And then the structure developed. At one point in the middle of the process, I felt I had a series of scenes, and I felt almost like I was shuffling cards to sort of get them to sort of, keep the wheels going on my story.
Why did you want to tell this story in particular as your first novel?
Well, I think it was probably, in hindsight, it was probably a bit of an ambitious idea, or slightly mad idea for a first novel, because it's quite complicated, and I did get myself tangled up in knots trying to work out how I was going to do it, and I had to put it aside from time to time just to let the ideas kind of percolate. But allowing myself to do that helped. I mean, I was trying to digest a lot of research material and also write, so I had to sort of have a bit of this dish and then have a break and digest and then have a bit of that dish. And then, I found that scenes would come to me, and I would write episodes and think, oh, gosh, okay, this kind of feels, I quite like this or I like that. And then some of those pieces survived and come through now into the finished book.
Mm. Mm. The curse that runs through the book, which is really like the centrepiece of the plot that mm-hmm. brings the two girls together, that has, I guess, like fantastical elements to it in the way that it's portrayed in some of the scenes. In that mm-hmm. sense, would you call the book magical realism, or does it not quite feel like that?
Yes, there is an element of that. I had a sense of the otherworldly element in there. And it was like also like condensing time seemed kind of come naturally at certain points in the story, and that sprang out of the artworks, the other artwork that runs through the book is Picasso's version of Las Meninas, and that was done 300 years after the original Las Meninas, and I thought it was fascinating that this other great artists had kind of addressed his predecessor across time, and almost in the way that there was no time at all between the creation of those two works. And Picasso in himself was quite, Western art historical tradition would called him quite superstitious or mystical, but you know, he was quite deep and quite, you know, spiritually open, I think. Mm. And that, yeah, so partly his you know, engaging in his, possibly, you know, what I might have an inkling of his thought process or his how he revolved around that work, those otherworldly mystical elements kind of sprang between out of that kind of conversation of those two artworks.
Mm, I guess. Absolutely, yeah, and they yeah. permeate all the way through the book. So where can people get their hands on a copy of the book if they'd like to read it?
I think it's quite a few shops at the moment. Yeah, so lots of different bookshops, independent bookshops certainly featuring it. We had the launch last week at Time Out Books in Mount Even, but yeah, my local bookstore has it, and it's, yeah, you'll find it around and about. I think I've even seen it at the airport on a shelf with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which gave me a giggle.
That was Andrea Hotere talking with me about her new novel, The Vanishing Point.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.